Tonight, the Monday Nighter, the Patriots are in New York taking on the Jets. Pats, 10-point favorites.
I think that's quite light.
You think so? The Jets beat Dallas at home last week. Sam Darnold's back.
I don't know.
I'm getting a bit nervous about this. I know, but it's the Jets. It's an interdivisional game. I'm talking myself into taking New York here. Here is longtime Browns O-lineman, now NFL Network analyst, host of the Tomahawk Show. Really happy to have this guy on for the first time, making his debut on Overdrive. Here's Joe Thomas. What's up, Joe?
What's up, guys? Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thank you for doing this. Any reason to believe the Jets can make this a game tonight or what?
You know what? I think that they might be able to make it a game. You know, Sam Darnold's come back, and he's looked pretty good in his return. Josh Gordon for the Patriots, he's out. So I guess maybe you could count on a banged-up Patriots offense that might be a little bit limited, and you just hope that Sam Darnold has some type of second-year magic that he's going to be able to bamboozle the Patriots defense. But I wouldn't take that to the bank, but I'm trying to make a little bit of a case that it's a good game to watch and it's going to be a little close.
See, he's basically saying it's the Patriots rinsing them.
That's what it sounds like to me, if I'm reading between the lines here, Joe.
Yeah, it's not going to be a close game tonight. No reason to even tune in.
Okay. Well, that's good to hear.
Yeah.
Speaking of young quarterbacks who are taking heat, there's a number of them throughout the NFL, but I would say that the guy in Chicago, man, is he in the firing line right now. Mitchell Trubisky, the Bears coming off a bye week, and obviously Trubisky has not played well. New Orleans goes in there without Kamara, without Breeze, lays a beating on them. How concerned would you be if you were a Bears fan when you watch the Bears offense and specifically Trubisky?
Well, I think they should be really concerned as long as Mitch Trubisky's their quarterback, because the one thing that we've said that he can kind of bail him out and give him an opportunity is when he is able to run and he's using his legs, because he's a very good athlete. He hasn't been able to throw the ball that well throughout his career, but since he hurt his shoulder, he's kind of taken that threat away from him. So you're putting Mitchell Trubisky out there and you're taking away the thing he does the best and you're forcing him to do the thing he does the worst, which is throw the football, and this team seems to be getting worse every year. In a division right now in the NFC North that is ultra-competitive, some could say it's maybe the best division in football, the Bears are 3-3 right now, and they're falling behind quickly as Packers and Vikings are looking really, really hot. So what I would love to see from the Bears is to make a huge splash before the trade deadline. I would love to see him go out and get one of these quarterbacks, like maybe a Cam Newton. I don't know. You heard it. Cam Newton to the Bears would be pretty exciting. They've got Kyle Allen right now in Carolina. He's got a big contract that they may want to be able to get out from under. And maybe it's time to turn over a new leaf down there. And you add Cam Newton to that Bears team with that Bears defense, that could be an exciting roster all of a sudden.
I'm sure Bears fans are thinking anything. Like, I can't stand organizations that try to trick themselves into saying this is going to be the guy. And ultimately, everybody knows he's not going to be the guy, and they stick with him. So I'm sure if you're cheering for the Bears, you're thinking anybody but this guy you want leading the charge.
Well, that's the problem. When you trade up in the first round to draft a guy, you really put the entire organization behind him.
Yeah, and you always feel like you got to validate yourself.
Absolutely. You feel like you got to validate him, and that, a lot of times you see them even getting second contracts when they really haven't done anything enough during the first contract. But those guys that are in decision-making positions, they feel like their job's on the line, because just like the head coach is tied to the GM, that quarterback that you pick is tied to both of those guys. And when he is done, your career is pretty much over. But unfortunately for Bears fans, a guy like Mitch Trubisky, who shows over and over again that he's not the guy, he's not capable of playing at an elite level, they just can't feel like they can move on from him right away.
With longtime NFLer Joe Thomas, sticking with that game, I cannot believe the Saints are 5-0 without Drew Brees. Mm. Like, full credit to that staff. I thought they were going to take a step back this year because of the way they lost last year and even the year before. And if you had have told me before the season Brees was going to break his thumb and be out for 5 to 6 weeks, I'd say, there it is. My prophecy is going to come to fruition here. Bridgewater's 5-0, 9 touchdowns, 2 picks, 1,200 yards passing. What can you say about the Saints?
Well, I think Sean Payton right now is in the lead for Coach of the Year, clearly, because, like you mentioned, forever and ever, it was the Drew Brees and the Sean Payton offensive story down in New Orleans, and a defense that was, you know, at times they were good enough, but a lot of times they were what's holding that team back, and a lot of credit to Sean Payton and his coaching staff for getting a defense that team believes in. Those guys are playing lights out, and then having the foresight of being able to sign a guy and spending some resources, spending some salary capital on a guy like Teddy Bridgewater, who could start for a lot of teams in the NFL, and getting him ready. I mean, he was able to step in there, and typically in the NFL, you say that your second string quarterback, you want him to be able to win half of your games. So when the starter comes back, you're in contention and you can make a run for the playoffs. But who would have thought Teddy Bridgewater being able to go 5-0, putting that team in first place in their division, one of the best, probably maybe the best team in the NFC right now at 6-1, looking very good. And nobody's rushing to get Drew Brees back out there, which is probably the shock of the football season right now.
With longtime NFLer and NFL Network analyst Joe Thomas, there was a time a couple years ago where Tom Brady, Jacoby Brissett, and
Jimmy Gorgeous
were all on the same roster, and now their teams are collectively 16-2. Wow. Pats 6-0, Niners 6-0, and how about Jacoby Brissett, who I believe, I had to rewind it a few times, I think Rodney Harrison said was playing better than any other quarterback in the AFC last night.
He did say that.
You heard that too?
Yeah.
And then I looked up his stats because I knew he had been winning ball games. His numbers are off the charts. Like, he's not Andrew Luck necessarily, but how far off is Brissett from Andrew Luck in terms of the production he's putting up?
Well, he's playing really good, outstanding football. He's, for the most part, taking care of the football. I think on Sunday he was 4 touchdowns, no interceptions. He only took 1 sack. And if you could ever say anything bad about Andrew Luck throughout his career, you say that he took too many sacks, right? He held onto the ball. He was trying to make a big play every time he got the football, but what Jacoby Brissett is doing within this offense is understanding that sometimes the best decision that a quarterback can make is to take the check down or throw the football away. You don't have to put the game on your back every single time that you snap the football. And so Jacoby Brissett is buying into what Frank Reich and that staff is asking him to do. He's playing great football. They're playing complimentary football. And a lot of love to my former coach, Matt Eberflus, who's now the defensive coordinator in Indianapolis. He's coming up with great game plans week in and week out. He's changing up what they do on defense and making it hard for everybody. Deshaun Watson, they picked him off 2 times on Sunday. In my opinion, Deshaun Watson in the top 3 guys right now for the MVP candidacy. And for the most part, the Colts did an outstanding job with him. Hats off to that staff, because myself included, I thought that season was over when Andy Luck decided to retire. But Jacoby Brissett has really quickly made everybody forget about Andrew Luck. And how about Andrew Luck was like the number one most hated man in Indianapolis when he decided to retire right before the season. And all of a sudden, I feel like he's a big Jacoby Brissett fan, because people are starting to love Andrew Luck a little bit more, and they're not as mad that he retired anymore.
Oh, yeah. He'll be out there like ceremonial coin flip, standing ovation in a Brissett jersey, I'll bet, by the end of the season. If you've got Watson, Deshaun Watson, in your top 3 for the MVP, who else would you have? Who are the other 2 guys?
Yeah, I would go Andrew Luck right now. Not Andrew Luck. Of course not Andrew Luck. We were just talking about Andrew Luck. Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is playing lights out in the offense they've got right now, which is fantastic. It's really been fun to watch Matt LaFleur, who comes from that Kyle Shanahan wide zone scheme where they're running play action and they're running the football. And it's really meshed really well with what Aaron Rodgers' talents have been, and they've paired that with a great defense. So I love what Aaron Rodgers is doing right now. And then Russell Wilson, he didn't play as well last weekend against the Ravens. They lost that game, and he threw his first interception of the season. But he's still in the lead for me as far as MVP of the league because of what he's doing and how he's elevating the play of everybody around him. The way he takes care of the football, the way he completes passes, he moves the sticks, he's keeping his defense off the field so they can be fresh, so they can fly around when they are on the field. And so he is the one guy above everybody else right now that's making everybody, not only on the offense, but on the defense, better that's around him.
What about the guy who rolled in there and beat him yesterday, Lamar Jackson?
He's been outstanding. I'm not willing to say that he's in my top three right now, but I think he's surpassed everybody's expectations, maybe even the guys within the Ravens room, because he's doing it, and he's doing it consistently with his feet. We saw the L.A. Chargers last year in the playoffs come up with a game plan that just totally shut them down. They added an extra defensive back onto the field, and that extra fast guy, they took a fat guy off, and they put a fast guy on there, and they gave him a lot of problems because there was a bunch of guys then that could kind of match his speed, but Greg Roman, that offensive coordinator in Baltimore, came up with a great game plan. It's Lamar Jackson 2.0, and they're doing a really, really good job getting him creative run plays that they look the same from the start, but they're confusing the defenses just enough, and Lamar Jackson is so smart and so savvy and slippery, and his quickness is probably second to none right now in the NFL, and he's making just enough plays with his arm that he's keeping defenses honest and playing fun football. There's a lot of fun young quarterbacks in the NFL, and I think that's what's making this game grow at an unprecedented rate. When you think about all the young quarterbacks that are just exciting, it doesn't matter who you cheer for, you can turn on the game on Sunday, and you can be entertained, and that is good TV.
With longtime Browns O-lineman Joe Thomas, before we get you out of here, we've got to ask you, because we haven't been able to get you on the show before, what was your playing weight? And how much do you weigh now? Because you look like you've lost about 150 pounds.
Well, I appreciate that. the heaviest I ever played at, I was 325, kind of in the middle of my career before knee injuries and back injuries started to catch up to me. And then towards the end of my career, I was closer to 300. But right now, I'm about 255, and I feel like I'm 30 all over again. So that's a good thing when you're in my body.
All right, man. Keep rolling.
Wow.
255. Oh, you. That's what you're looking for next week.
Oh, yeah. I don't think I'm anywhere close to it, but...
We'll get there.
You got to go with the Wisconsin diet. It's just beer and cheese and nothing else. And you can't keep the weight on.
I'm not far off, brother.
The Canadian diet's not far off, yeah. That, believe me. Great catching up with you, Joe. Thank you for doing this.
Yeah, I appreciate it, guys. Check out my podcast, Tomahawk Show. We release an episode Sunday night and then Tuesday afternoon every single week during the football season. Have a great day, guys.
You got it. There he is, Joe Thomas, longtime NFL O-lineman, NFL Network analyst, and host of the podcast, The Tomahawk Show. 325.
And ripped, too.
Big boy.
Put together.
Like, all pro. Like, there was a 5 or 6 year stretch.
How do you go from 325 to 255?